Those verses from Paul's letter to the Philippians are believed by many scholars to be quoting an early Christian hymn, a hymn many think was used as part of a baptism. Keep that in mind as in the next so many Sundays we baptize several in our congregation. If you notice that particular song, for that's what it is, a Christ hymn, is sort of shaped like a V. It begins talking about how Jesus, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, as a thing to be exploited, but instead he released that, he let it go, and took on the form of a human being, human form, even so much as to become a servant, or as some translations of the word say, a slave. You notice the downward movement, sort of like this week, the form of a servant, and such that it goes on and says, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross. At the bottom of the V, you have the upward move. Therefore, God lifted him up high and gave a name above all names, that at this name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In some ways, that's the movement of faith, brothers and sisters, in the form of a V. Now, if you want to think of that as a V for victory, go ahead. But note the downward and the upward. And in the strange understanding of faith, it is that's sort of the upside-down nature of faith, for really that is the way things truly happen in the kingdom of God, where it's not the first, the brightest, the best that win. In the end, it is those who release their grasp upon life who discover what life is really all about. Last week, I talked about how it's important that year after year we remember the story. It may be emblazoned upon us and it may become boring, if in fact, but let's recall the story, and it is fairly simple. The story of faith, which begins the key part of it with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It is so key that if you look in John's Gospel, the majority of that Gospel actually has to do with this very section of Jesus' life. He entered into Jerusalem, and one of the first places he headed was his father's house, the temple. And there we remember the stories of his upturning the tables and the beginnings of conflict, the conflict that was there all along, but a conflict which could not any longer be avoided. And through the course of the next so many days during this Passover celebration, it's not very many days, my folks, that a key part, that the important part of the Bible takes place, the New Testament takes place. Jesus is in and out of conflict. He is in and out facing into the religious leaders of his day. He is in and out of really laying claim to what God is all about in this world. And you know the story that on, we call it Maundy Thursday, he gathered his disciples together in that upper room, and they celebrated the Passover meal. And then after that, he went out into the garden to pray. You remember the story, don't you? He went there and he prayed, and in some versions talk about tears of blood even. You know, it was a time of, you know, asking that, you know, he knew the cup from which he had to drink. He knew the events that lay ahead. If there was any possibility of changing this, would God take that away? But God did not. You know the story from there. It was in the very garden, a place of peace, but it was a conflict of prayer and also the conflict of arrest, for he had been betrayed by one of his very own disciples. but he stepped into it. And you remember the story. He went from one political leader to a religious leader, from the religious leaders of the day to Herod, to back to the religious leaders, to Herod, to Pilate, the big guy, the political ones. And you know the story. You know how he went through it, and you know how Maundy Thursday led to Good Friday, and we always wonder, why was it called Good Friday? All the bad things that happened, but there were things that needed to happen. You know, the descent, the punishment, even though he was innocent, you know the story. And the way of tears, after the crucify him, the choosing of a, just a common criminal to be set free instead of him who did nothing. And the walking through the Via Dolorosa, the trail of tears that led to Calvary and his being nailed to the cross and there dying. The bottom of the V. I think we are afraid, I know I am, of the bottom of the V. Not just him doing it, but the fear of facing into the struggles that are part of our daily life. The fears of facing into death, the fears of facing into conflicts, the fear of facing into the things that actually, in some ways, can lead to life. If only we had the long-term vision. The encouragement of this week, the encouragement of Easter is, you know, that sense that yes, in the middle of all our struggles, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. There is light at the end of the dark valley. There is hope, even when we can't see it, something to which we can cling once we deal with our fears. I will be sharing about my trip to Nigeria periodically, but as you know, one of the things that we went with is the question about fear. And I think as a peace church, dealing with fear is one of the first things we have to do before we can ever get around to this thing we called making peace. Our question was, how do we develop and sustain courage and passion, some things you need to be disciples, to be apostles in this world of Jesus? How do you develop this and sustain it in a culture of fear? And over there, we talked with people. I mean, there were definitely things. I mean, we have fears over here. But for them, the most immediate fear was the riots and the real religious struggle that they have when 50% of the population in Brethren areas there is Muslim and 50% is Christian. And what do you do when you've got radicals who are pushing at both ends of the spectrum, oftentimes initiated by radical Muslims that lead to riots, that lead to killing and the burning of churches? And the response, oftentimes, of many Christians to that is just to do the same in return. And the cycle keeps going over and over again. And the fuel is fear. How do you counter that? Face into the fear. And I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to do. We face into it, all of us, every day of our lives. I would like to share a song that I wrote 24 years ago, and I think it's still a pertinent song. At the time, I wrote it thinking about the prophet Elijah and how, though he was known as the prophet of power, he still had a lot of fears. He did his mighty thing on Mount Carmel, defeated the prophets of Baal, but then when a price was put on his head, he ran away. about as far away as you can go. Perhaps you know the story. He ran through the wilderness, was fed by ravens along the way. He ran up a mountain to a cave, to the very back of a cave. And there God called him to face into his fears and turn around and step forth. I also think of Peter, the disciple. I associate strongly with him because I'm named after him in a way. Peter had to face into his own fears as well. You remember the story on the night when Jesus was, betrayed. He denied Jesus three times. His fears. But he also had to deal with his fears on the other side of that too. Before he could even step forward and become a leader in the church, he had to stop running away. Just like I have to stop running away. Just like you need to stop running away. I've been running away. I've been running away. I've been running away, away from your love. I've been running away. I've been running away. I've been running away, away from your love. When the fire gets too hot, with confrontation, I know I must be real. I turn away in fear. My heart's desire is like dust upon the wind, lost in escaping from all that could have been. For I am never sure where I should begin, if I'm to be someone who is genuine. I've been running away. I've been running away. I've been running away, away from your love. I've been running away. I've been running away. I've been running away from your love. There before me stands the cross, a symbol of defeat. Why should I then risk myself and make this loss complete? Empty's a tomb, but then empty feels my heart, wondering how from this place I can depart. To love is more than just simply to remark. It is a spot from which now I must embark. But how? 'Cause I've been running away. I've been running away. I've been running away, away from your love. Empty crosses, empty tombs, for empty lives I died. You my brother, you my sister, for you I have cried. A thousand tears flowing fiercely to the sea, wanting so desperately for you to be free, that I did risk and become a refugee. So where you least would expect me, there I'll be. I'll be with you always. I'll be with you always. I'll be with you always to the close of the age. So go forth and risk. Draw together my people of the fish. Be as bold as you dare, for I am there. The good news is, in the middle of our fear, Jesus is there. Every step along the way, Jesus is there. I am with you even at the bottom of the V, just as I am with you when you start the ascent up. That is the joy, the wonder, the glory of Easter and what leads up to it. I invite you during our final hymn to do something with these palm branches other than just wave them. I encourage you, if you feel so moved, to bring your palm branch forward and not just lay that piece of plant at the foot of the cross, but allow it to represent yourself and the releasing, the giving of yourself. Jesus said, those who seek to save their life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake, those who release, those who let go and step into what God has in store, will find true life. So I invite you, if you feel so moved, as we sing this final hymn, to come forward and allow your putting of the palm at the base of the cross to represent your giving your life again to Christ, or maybe for the first time. We've got the words up on the screen, so you don't need your hymnal. Let's sing together our final hymn.